Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. There's so many times in our lives that we have a tendency of thinking and believing that things is not going to happen, or why am I going through this for so long, or why this got to happen to me, or why is this so constant and continuous in my life? There's so many times in our lives that we have a tendency of thinking and believing that these things is not going to change, that things is not going to turn, that things is not going to get any better. There's so many times in our lives that we think these things because of the situations that we go through, or the situations and the concerns that we have within our heart that we never even tell anybody. There's so many times inside of our lives that when these mishaps and when these circumstances, these experiences, all these different other things, they come before us or they come toward us, we have a tendency inside of our lives of thinking and believing that it's not going to change. But what we need to understand that there's a time, a season, and a purpose for any and everything that happens to us, that happens inside of our lives. We have a tendency of thinking and believing that a lot of things that happen in us, to us, and in our lives is because of something that we done, or a decision that we made, or something that we did not do, when in actuality, it's some things that God has to get out of us that he can begin that great work inside of us. We was already, God already had a plan for us in the beginning. He already knew our failures. He knew our struggles. He knew what we was going to go through. He knew the very things that was going to be challenging to us. But he also said that he was going to give us a way of escape. God knew any and every situation that was going to come before us, even inside of our lives. And yet, we have a tendency inside of our lives of thinking and believing that it is oh so bad, or this thing cannot happen, or put us in a place of depression, or put us in a place of sadness, and then we get all messed up and wrapped up and consumed, and we have conflicts inside of our thoughts within our own selves because of that situation and experience or that thing. So I'm asking any and everybody in the sanctuary on today, please get yellow sheets of paper, get red pens. And I want you to write down all these things that causes you to be conflicted in your thoughts, that causes you to be all messed up in your mind, that causes you to be messed up inside of your hearts and thinking and believing that this will not change, or we got questions. It's so many of us that have questions inside of our hearts and inside of our minds that we do not even understand that in our questioning some things, we are not taking in regards or even considering how we looking at it or even how we perceiving the thing. So right now, I want you guys to get yellow sheets of paper and red pens and start writing down all these things that's troubling you inside of your heart and your mind. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, I'm asking you to touch each and every individual in prayer, in this prayer room on today. The Lord said this is a prayer room. Lord, I'm asking you to touch each and every individual that's in this sanctuary, in this prayer room on this morning, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Cover them in your blood and hide them behind your cross. Give them your strength, your peace, and even your hope, Father God. It's so many times in our lives, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we get so consumed with the cares of this world and this life, Father God, that we get in between and betwixt, Father God, and the things that we should even do for you, God. And it's a lot of times, Lord, that these very things, Father God, causes us to be deaf to what you are saying, God. It causes us to be blind to what you are saying. And as you say in your word, Father God, here a little, there a little, Father. You said, Father God, that you cannot allow any and everything to happen to us all at one time, Father. Because of what it would do to us, it would simply consume us. So, Lord, I'm asking you to touch us in our minds on today, Father God, that we will not lean to our own understanding. touches in our minds on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we would know, Father God, and even understand, Father God, that there's a time, a season, and a purpose and a plan that you have already designed for us, Father, even before we was even formed in the very womb of our mother's belly. Lord, I'm asking you right now to give us the heart to embrace your word on today, God. Give us a heart on today, Father God, that it will not be hardened, Father God, or either you don't go shanaha, but give us a heart of flesh, Lord, that any and everything that you say, God, it will stimulate some things, change some things, and simply rearrange some things. Lord, I'm asking you to comfort us on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, even in the midst of the tests and trials, and Father, you're going to see the fiery darts and the challenges on today, Father God, because it's so many times, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we want to think right, we want to act right, and we even want to do good, Father God, in the name of Jesus, but it seems like evil is always present in our thoughts, present in our vision, and even in our hearing on today. So, Lord, I'm asking you to help us on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to come to a full understanding of what you are saying to the church. Lord, I'm asking you to help us on today, Father God, as we write all these things down, God. We're going to cast them down at your feet because we know that you care for us, Lord. We're going to give you all these things on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, because we know that you can handle them, Lord, and it is out of our control. It's so many things that's out of our control, Father God, and our back feel like it's up against the wall, and we do not even know what to do next. We do not even know what to say next. We do not even know how to approach a matter, Father God, in the name of Jesus. So I'm asking you to help us, Lord, that even in the midst of our approaching it, Lord, that we would not be prideful. Even in our midst of approaching it, Lord, that we would not have that know-it-all spirit. Even in our approaching it, Father God, that we won't be dainty and haughty, Lord. Even in our approaching it, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to give us a heart and a spirit of humility and meekness and lowliness on today, Father God, that we will be able to understand what you are saying, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Because there's a lot of times that we go through some things, experience some things, Lord, or even have challenges in our lives, Lord, and we try to figure out what we did, and we always say, well, I ain't do nothing, well, I didn't mean that, but Lord, I'm asking you to help us on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to understand, Lord, that even in the midst of us going through, even in the midst of us experiencing these things, God, and even though we may think that it's a bad thing, even though when we approach, we may think it's a dark place, Father God, you are the one that's beginning a great work inside of us, Lord, and we may not understand it, Father God. You may have even told us from the beginning what you was going to do, but Lord, you did not tell us what we had to go through to get to it. You did not tell us what you had to break off of us, Father God, in order to be able to receive it. You did not tell us, Father God, in the name of Jesus, what we had to recognize, Lord, before we could be able to even experience it. So I'm asking you to help us on today, God. Help us right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and then cap your angels in here. East, west, north, and south, from the roof to the very foundation, around the entire perimeter. Lord, I'm asking you to touch right now, Father God, even the ones that's on the way. Touch the ones that need to be here and won't come. Touch the ones that desire to be here and can't. Lord, I'm asking you to touch all your people, Father God, in every nation, tongue, religion, every nationality, and every culture. Lord, I'm asking you to allow your glory train, God, to be in this place on today, God. I'm asking you to heal, deliver, and set your people free, Father God, that they will not be in that place of bondage and even delusions, Lord. I'm asking you to help us today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, because you are the only one that can do it, God. Oh, Lord, we're casting all our cares at your feet right now, God. We're giving it all to you right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, because we know that you can handle it. And we know that you can fix it. So we're going to give it to you. We're going to outpour it. We're going to spill it all out on today, Father God. We're not going to hold in all these cares. We're not going to hold in all these worries. We're not going to keep these things so close and near and dear to us, God, and causing ourselves to treasure them in secret. But we're going to let it all out on today, God. I'm asking you to expose that thing, Father God, that causes us to be in a place of bondage individually. I'm asking you to expose that thing, Father God, in the name of Jesus that causing us to be in that dark place. I'm asking you to expose it, then I'm asking you to remove it. Remove it on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we will not be in Yoko Shana. Help us on today, Father God, to realize and recognize, Father God, that Yoko Shana, any and everything that we're going through, any and everything that we are experiencing is necessary. It's necessary for us to go through that thing. It's necessary for us to learn something from that thing. It's necessary for to even feel the pain. It's necessary to feel the hurt. It's necessary. So Help us, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and give us the wisdom that we need, Father, that we will not be wise in our own good sights, Lord. Help us on today, Father God, because we need you like we never needed you before, God. These seeds are mangled and entangled inside of us, God. It's like a vine running through our blade. It's like a vine running through our So I'm asking you to detangle it, Lord, that we will not get stuck to that spider web, that we will not be going in circles, that we will not be going in cycles, that we will not be but help us on today, God, that we may be able to receive the freedom in you that you'll go see through the assurance from the blood of Jesus. I'm asking you to help us on today, God. Help us to realize and even recognize, Father God, that you're doing a great work. You're performing a great thing. You didn't say how long it was going to take us to get there. You didn't say what we had to go through to get there. But what you did say was that you got a future in store for us. And you're going to get us there one way or the other. So I'm asking you to help your people to submit themselves under your mighty hand on today, Father God. That your will, your purpose, your plan will be done in the timing that you have already predestined. I'm asking you to do it even now, God. In your son Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. So the Lord has been dealing with me concerning some things inside of our hearts and even inside of our minds. It's a lot of times that we go through some things or experience some things, and we still trying to figure out, why do I got to keep going through that? Why do I got to keep experiencing that? Why does this keep happening this to my family or to my husband, to my wife? Or why is this always happening to my children? Or we still trying to figure out why. We still want to know why. We still cannot grasp the concept of what God is doing inside of our lives. Now, he may have told us that he was going to do one thing, but then it's been some years and we still have not got to that place where he said he was going to do. So there's a question in between. Why, Lord, when you said you was going to do this and you said you was going to do that, and Lord, you said you was taking me here, and Lord, you said you was going to stop this, we still trying to figure out why it ain't happened yet. We still trying to figure out when it's going to take place. But I'm here to tell you today that it's a setup. It's a setup. The name of the sermon today is the setup. And then it's a colon, good versus evil. It's a setup, y'all. Look. See, we go through so much in our lives and experience so much and carry so many other burdens and troubles of others, even though we carry in our own troubles, until we cannot see it's a setup. We can't see it's a setup because we've been in it for so long. We've been going through it for so long. We've been lacking for so long. We've been hurting for so long. We've been crying for so long. Oh, it's just this been in my life. It's that always happened to me. Oh, baby, it's a repetitive thing inside of our hearts and inside of our minds that we can't see. It's a sinner. See, we have to be in a certain emotional and mental state in order for us to be able to receive some things that God has promised us. That ain't got anything to do with our hearts. I'm going to say it again. We as people have to be in a certain place emotionally and mentally in order to receive some things that God has for us. Why? Because if we're not, we're going to be proud. We're going to be boastful and bitter and hateful, and we're going to be a bit worse than what we already are. We have to be in a certain place mentally and emotionally in order to receive what God has for us. In the midst of him balancing our emotions and our mental state, he got to pull some things up out of our hearts. I'm finna prove it.
I'ma pause this. Them songs just right on time.
Listen. The Bible says that He has a plan for us that is good. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. See, our thoughts towards ourselves is belittled, downgraded. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because of our self-consciousness, our low self-esteem, our thinking we ain't good enough, we ain't pretty enough, we ain't better enough, or we can't do, or we won't do, or that, all that. All that. Especially if somebody done spoke some things to you and it went in your ears. Along with us belittling our own selves and what we heard somebody else say because of our own mental and emotional imbalance about our own self, what they say, they do nothing but throw fuel on the fire. It ain't do nothing but help us to believe that it's true. Why? Because they said it. I already believe it. They gave me a confirmation. No. It's not. Because first and foremost, your emotions and your mental state is not in a place where God wanted to be. So them saying what they said is not what you perceived it to be. So it wasn't fuel on the fire. It was a wake-up call that you won't keep burning your own self. I'm finna prove something to y'all. I hope y'all don't think I be making up this stuff. The name of the sermon is set up. Good versus evil. I've been up since 12 o'clock midnight. He woke me up at exactly 12 o'clock. When I turned over, I said, Lord, I was wide-eyed, bright-eyed, fuzzy-tailed. I looked at the clock. It said 1200. I've been up ever since then, and he's been talking hard about us. The name of the sermon is a setup, good versus evil. I want y'all to first understand what a setup is. Because a setup can go anyway, about anything. The assembly and arrangement of the tools and apparatus required for performance of an operation. Ain't that what we do? We set things up before we get ready to start doing stuff, or before we get ready to do stuff. Set up. The preparation and adjustment of something for an assigned task. A setup. Something such as a plot that has been constructed or contrived. The setup is the manner in which the elements or components of a machine, apparatus, or a system are arranged, designed, or assembled. Because it's a process. And first, you got to set the stuff up that you need. When you get ready to make a cake, you gather up everything that you need. You set everything up before you start adding the ingredients. When you get ready to get dressed, what you do? You go gather all the stuff that you're going to use for to get dressed in before you set it up, right? I'm going to wear that shirt. I'm going to wear this. I'm going to put on that girdle. No, I'm going to wear Spanx today. We set it up. Am I going to wear socks? I think I'm going to wear some heels. So, no, I'm going to put on some loafers so I can stroll there. We set it all up. Okay, a setup. I hope y'all listening to this, because this ain't ministered to me. A setup is something done by deceit or trickery in order to compromise, frame, or hinder someone. It's a different kind of setup. It's different. A setup is the way in which something is fixed, arranged, or organized. A setup is the way objects in space or events in time are arranged or follow one another. But the one that got me was the assembly and arrangement of the tools and apparatus required
for the performance of an operation. So, the name of the sermon is the setup, good versus evil. Now, how can that be a setup when everybody coming up against you? How can that be a setup? How could it be a setup when ain't nothing going right in your life that you already planned? Now, we ain't talking about the thoughts that God have towards you. We talking about our thoughts, because we all have goals, right? We all have preparations that we have already want to obtain for ourselves. Okay? So how could that be a setup? We think a setup is people who coming up against you and they set up, they recruiting, all that other stuff. That's all for to be part of it today. That's all for to be part of it today. What is a setup? A setup is something or someone used for the use of something else. A setup. Now, mind you, I'm going to say this one more time. The Bible says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you that are good and they are not evil. But when we are going through something that causes us to think and believe that evil is always coming up against us. People always go, are they doing something? They trying to hit me. Is it a setup? What is trying to set? Because God want us to be in a certain place emotionally and mentally before we can receive that plan for our future. Because if we are not in a set place emotionally and spiritually and mentally, then we're not going to understand what to do with it or how to do it. And then what about pride? What about haughtiness? What about all these other things that may cause us to be in a place of simple hindrance? Complete stumbling blocks. Because we want everything right quick, because we microwavable. When we going through something and we saved or not, all you got to do is just believe God. Whether you saved or not, if you believe God, it can be some things activated for you individually. I wouldn't give a rest to tell who you are, what you're doing, or how often you do it. If you believe God, you can activate something that can cause results. And what is that? Faith. Because you believe. Simply because you believe. That's it. What Jesus tell his disciples, just believe God. Just believe God. All you got to do is just believe. Okay, so if it's a setup and all I got to do is just believe you. Okay, Lord, I'm coming to you and I'm praying. I'm asking you to do this. I'm asking you to do that. And you done already told me that if I believe you, then according to your will, it shall be done. So if I'm asking you for something that didn't happen or it has not happened and I've been waiting all this up, is it according to your will? How about the timing? What Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to start there. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A season is when something changes. I'm going to say that again. A season is when something changes. So it does not matter how long you've been in it. It does not matter if you're going to be able to get out of it. It does not matter what you're thinking of. We're talking about these emotional and mental balances right now. That leverage that you need in your thoughts and in your mind. Because your emotions and your mentality state is most important. Please understand that. Our emotions will dictate our actions. When in our mind, our mental state telling us that it's wrong, but our emotions say that it's right and this is what I'm finna do right now. But your mind telling you is wrong. Your heart telling you don't do it. But your emotions, what is it? Anger, sadness, fear, it don't matter, happy. Because your emotions, if you get happy, your emotions tell you to jump up and down, scream, holler, yeah, it could get to that. That's it. But your mind could be very well telling you, yeah, you could be happy, but not right now because you ain't in the right place. Or you ain't in it up. So which one? Where's the balance? Where's the leverage? I'm just giving y'all some examples before I go. A season is when things change. Summer, winter, spring, fall. A season is when things change. From sad to happy, from mad to glad, these are seasons. See, seasons is going to come repetitively in our life. And it may last longer than the summer months. Because this season may take a little longer for me to understand the setup. I may not be able to grasp the setup in 4 or 5 months. It may take me some years. Or decades. It may take me some time. That's the next word. Season. Season is when things change. To everything there's a season. And a time to every purpose under the heaven. Time. I told y'all what season is. What is time? Too long. Too long. Because, I mean, think about it. You could be in that situation in India or whatever for so long. And to time go by, you get mad because that time ain't coming quick enough. And then it go by, you be like, ooh, that's been a long time. I've been sending this doctor's off for a long time. I've been waiting on that call for a long time. Time is the measured or measurable period during which an action, process, or condition exists. Time is the point or period when something occurs. It's an appointed, fixed, or customary moment or hour for something to happen, begin, or end. Time in that season, ain't it? I want to say that definition again. Time, an appointed, fixed, or customary moment or hour for something to happen, begin, or end. Because stuff don't last always. Whether you're happy, whether you're sad, whether you're mad, whether you get it don't last always. It's an opportune or suitable moment. Time is a particular point at which an event takes place. The period during which something exists, lasts, or is in progress. Or is in progress. We're talking about time. Now, what is a purpose? A purpose is something set up as an object or end to be. It's something that one hopes or intends to accomplish. It's the action for which a person or thing is specially fitted or used for which a thing exists. I'm going to read that one again. What is a purpose? It's the action for which a person or thing especially fitted for or used for which a thing exists. Okay. Y'all following me on the setup? See, not only is a season and a time, it's a purpose. It's a reason. Why you in that place for so long? Let's talk about Joseph. There's no better description to give than Joseph. Because in the timing of everything that he went through, it was one thing that kept sticking out at me when the Lord had me studying him. Pride. Now mind you, listen to this. God can have his hand on your life heavy and hard. But that one thing that God wants to get out of our heart is pride. What you mean by that? What you trying to say? I'm going to tell y'all what I'm trying to say. Let's talk about Joseph for a minute before I go any further. Let's talk about Joseph. This is Joseph. The Bible says that he was called a dreamer. Joseph was called a dreamer, and he was one of 12 children. Being one of the 12 children and Joseph being a dreamer, the Lord had his hand on his life. Are y'all following me? Let me tell y'all about the setup. The Lord had his hand on his life. In the midst of the Lord having his hand on his life, he told him and showed him certain other things that he had already thought towards him. Okay? The thoughts that I have to, what the Bible say? I know the thoughts that I have and I think towards you. They are good and they are not evil. I'm going to bring you to an expected end. But see, Joseph had a lot of pride. And it comes from how he was treated. The Bible declares that Joseph's father loved him more than he loved any of his other children. And he had 12 of them. He had 12 boys and some girls too. But we're going to focus on the boys today. The man child. What the Bible say? The man is born of but a few days yet full of trouble. So we're going to talk about the man child today. Let's talk about the man child. The Bible says that Joseph was a dreamer. And in the midst of him being a dreamer, he wanted to share these dreams with the people and the folk. He wanted to tell the people and the folk his dreams, because not only was he a dreamer, but he was also an interpreter of dreams. So he knew exactly what his dreams meant every time he had a dream. The Bible says that the first dream that he had, it was about some sheaves and wheat, and they was bowing down to him. And so Joseph went and started boasting and bragging to his brothers. I had a dream, and my dream, such and such, such. They say what? They already didn't like him. Why they didn't like him? Because he was walking around in pride. Why was he walking in pride? Because of the favoritism that his father showed him against his other siblings. Why you say that, Pastor? Because the Bible says that Jacob loved him more than he loved his other children. He loved him so much until he made him a coat of many colors and gave it to him, but he didn't make none for the other kids. And so that made him prideful right there. I'm better than you. Look what daddy did for me. He ain't do it for you. Yeah. He got to walking around in pride. Now he having these dreams. Now the Lord already dealing with him. The Lord already starts showing him favor through who? His father. Okay? Not only did he show him favor, he let him know that he was loved. Okay? So that made his brothers and them hate him. In the midst of his brothers and them hating him, he having dreams about, I'm going to be this and I'm going to be that, and you're going to have to bow down to me. So they hated him even more. This is what the Bible said. In the midst of that, he had another dream. Not only was his brothers bowing down to him, but his mother and his father was bowing down to him too. And that even made his parents mad. His father, at least. They never said what his mother said, only what his father said. And the Bible says that even though he was mad, the Bible says that his father paid attention to what he said. See, it's a lot of times that God would set you up and you think it's something evil and bad because you're going through it, when in actuality he's trying to teach you something. But you ain't paying attention to that because you're consumed by what you're going through right now. You don't see that. I'm going to say this one more time. The Lord can come to you and tell you exactly what he's going to do with you in your life. He done told you the end of the story, but he didn't tell you the in-betweens. He tell you what you got to go through. And I'm going to say this again. We all as people have to be in a certain emotional and mental state in order to receive what God has for us in the midst of the setup. That ain't got anything to do with your heart. The setup is the going through, and that's what he's pulling out your heart. But he's not considering, because not one time did Joseph consider he had pride. He never considered it. And so in the midst of it, he got sold. His brothers wanted to kill him. One of them said, no, don't kill him. Just save him. And then the other one say, well, we ain't going to save him. We going to do something bad to him, because he walking around here like he all that in a bag of chips. The Bible says that the oldest boy, Reuben, told him, he said, no, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him in this ditch. Now, the Bible said it wasn't nothing down there. No water, it was dry, it was empty, and it was dark. How many times you fell into a ditch, a dark place, a sad place, a depression, not knowing it's a setup. Not knowing you got to go into that place where you can't see nothing. Because if you in a dark place, a dry place, and you weigh that, what can you see? Absolutely nothing. Sometimes God got to blind you because your spirit man and your natural man want you to see everything that you don't need to see. Yeah. Sometimes you need to be in that dark place so that you can ponder and consider. Now, the Bible never said that Joseph pleaded for his life or get me out of this. It did not say anything about that. The Bible at that moment and at that time, are y'all paying attention? Because there's a season, a time, and a purpose for everything. He did not understand. All he knew is that he was in a cold, dark, deep ditch. And my brothers hate me. Guess what overtook him? Fear. Because he didn't know what they was going to do next. But he heard them talking. They wanted to kill him. The Bible says that they sold him. They sold him. Now listen to this. Let me show y'all the setup so that y'all can consider what you going through, how long you've been going through. The Bible says he was only 17 years old when this happened to him. He was 17 years old when he first got thrown in that ditch. Okay? The Bible says that when he was sold, he was taken to Egypt. And when he got to Egypt, listen to this, because these are gold nuggets, y'all. When he got to Egypt, the Bible says that God was with him and allowed him to have favor. That's what the Bible said. Now, mind you, who did he have favor with? The person that he was sold to was the right-hand man of Pharaoh, which was Potiphar. Okay? He was the right-hand man of Pharaoh. The Bible says that the right-hand man of Pharaoh made him his right-hand man. The Bible says that not only did he make him his right hand man, he told him that, you know what, I'm going to let you rule all this stuff. He had so much favor with him. And so guess what, y'all? The Bible says that the man that gave him the favor, he didn't even know what he had. And he entrusted him with him. Now, mind you, let me backtrack. When he got thrown in that ditch, I could just hear him. I ain't did nothing to my brothers. I ain't did nothing to them. I just came looking for them like daddy told me to look for them, and now they done throw me in a ditch. Now I'm sold to somebody else. He didn't pay attention to the favor that his father gave him, and then the favor that his older brother gave him and spared his life. And then the favor that he had with the second head man in charge gave him in charge. Now mind you, in the midst of him having all this favor, evil was still there while he was doing good. Good versus evil, right? That is a scripture in the Bible that said that your good gonna be evil spoken of. Everybody in here could say that I ain't did nothing but been good to that person or tried to help them. But that person got other people thinking evil about you or what you did or what you didn't do. All because of their emotional and mental instability. So, is y'all following me? I hope y'all following me. Because the name of the sermon is The Setup. Good versus evil. Listen to this. The Bible says that in the midst of that, he had so much favor until he became attractive. I got to give y'all these scriptures because I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but this thing ministered to me. Did I say 12 midnight? So, listen to this. Listen to this. I'm finna get y'all some scriptures. Before we finish in Ecclesiastes, please go to Romans 8. Start getting Romans 8 while I'm still talking. Romans 8. Listen to this. The Bible says that in the midst of him having favor, he started looking real good to Potiphar's wife, and she set him up. I gave y'all all these definitions, didn't I? She set him up. And he was thrown in prison. Now, in the midst of him getting thrown in prison, the Bible says that the prison keeper showed him favor and turned all the prisoners over to him that they had to serve him. Now, is y'all paying attention? He in another dark place, ain't he? Why? Because of that pride. Because this is what he told Potiphar's wife. This is what he told him. He say, you know what? I'm the head man in charge. All but over your husband. He done put me in charge of any and everything that he got, baby. His money, his wine, his servant. I'm in charge of it all. Except you. Because you his wife. I ain't worrying about Potiphar. I'm worrying about God. I'm not going to sin against God. Because you belong to somebody else. And the Bible says that he tried to leave her and run away. And she grabbed his. And it came off her. And she accused. She set him up. And he got thrown in prison. Is y'all getting it? That was another setup, right? Why? There was that pride again, wasn't it? Now, he ain't considering he walking around there in pride like he the big man. He wasn't considering he walking around in pride concerning his brothers and his father. He ain't considering any of these things. I'm going to say this again. We have to be in emotional and mental state of balance in order to receive what God has for us. And that ain't got nothing to do with our heart. But what is inside of our heart, he got to pull it out to make sure that we govern over these things appropriately and just. See, he got to be able to trust us. And so we know that God favored him. But what we didn't know is that God put some tools, I read y'all the definition, inside of him and equipped him to be able to govern over his stuff. He was setting him up. How was he setting him up? He was teaching him how to be humble. The Bible says that he was in prison for over 15 years before he entered into his divine destiny. Why? Why did it take 15 years? Because he tried to teach him in the beginning when he first got thrown down in that ditch. He ain't learned yet. Mm-mm, he ain't get it bye-bye. No. And then he tried to teach him again from raising up in pride by his wife setting him up. He ain't getting it. He said, you know what? I got to teach him. But guess what? He kept on entrusting him with stuff. Amen. Every time he became the right-hand man, or everybody that he had to serve. Pay attention. He had to serve before He can be a servant. I'm getting to that part. I'm way ahead of myself, y'all. I am. So, what we need to know and what we need to realize, that bad thing we're going through, that situation that we've been in for so long and for so many years, and we wanted to hurry up and get over, we have to consider why I'm in this situation or why this is like a cycle or repetitive, because God is trying to pull something up out of you, and you have to be in the right state of mind, and your thought and your emotions have to be in a place of balance before you be able to contend with the people in the fold. So I got to be able to trust you, and I got to teach you. Now I'm going to keep showing you favor. Why? Because I love you. I'm going to keep pulling you out. Now, I'm going to let you suffer for a little while, but in the midst of you suffering and in the midst of you going through that thing, I want you to consider why. But if you don't consider, then okay, I'm going to pull you up and then I'm going to pull you right back down. Let's go to the book. Let's go to the book. Romans 8. Romans 8. We're going to get back to Ecclesiastes. Romans 8. 8:28. That's where we're going to start. And we know that all things work together for good to them that God love. To them that love God. Which one is it? It's both. But the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Because if you pay attention, Joseph gave God his credit. First and foremost, when they called him up out of the prison to stand before Pharaoh, this is what he told him. And you know, because they called him a dreamer. You know, can't nobody interpret. I called the soothsayers. I called the magistrates. I called all the magicians and that. Can't nobody interpret it. But they told me that you interpreted the dream and it came to pass. And the first thing that came out of his mouth, he said, God is the only one that can give you an answer, not me. Yeah. When that woman tried to make him commit adultery with him, he was like, "Do I ain't sinning against God?" So y'all got to pay attention to what that man did. In the midst of it all, he recognized God as being sovereign and was his servant, even though he had some hiccups. Yes, Lord. Baby, we got some hiccups going on. Yes, Lord. You hear what I'm saying? But that does not mean. That does not mean that, well, your destiny is denied. It's just delayed for a season. Just for a season. In the midst of that season, in that delay, that means he got to do something that you can recognize that your purpose for. Because in the midst of you going through it, you don't understand what your purpose is because you can't see it. All you know is the Bible say, yeah, I got thoughts that are there. I got good thoughts towards you that are good enough. I can't tell because I'm going through some stuff right now. And that scripture ain't meaning nothing to me right now, Jesus. And that's just keeping it real. That's just keeping it real. It don't mean nothing at that time in that moment because of what we're going through, what we see, what we hear, and even what we're experiencing. And baby, it's challenging. It's challenging to go through that stuff and then get past it and still be in emotional and mental state of balance. No. That ain't us. Am I just talking about that? That ain't us. Baby, we get discombobulated. You hear what I say? And real nasty. That just to others, to our own selves too. How about that? To our own selves too. So the Bible says, not only did he recognize who God was and gave God all the glory, pay attention, he still did not consider his pride. He didn't, but he had to learn something. Because the Bible says when he stood before Pharaoh, he humbled himself, baby. He humbled himself. Not only did he humble himself, God gave him wisdom and instruction. Gave him wisdom and instruction that raised him up. This is what's going to happen to us. Listen, let's go to the book. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. See, he had a purpose for Joseph, but Joseph did not understand what that purpose was. All he knew is that it was evil coming up against him. He wasn't paying attention that he had favor on his life, even in the midst of the evil. He wasn't paying attention that God was showing him love and mercy and compassion, even in the midst of the waiting. All he knew is that he wanted to come up out that prison, baby. All he knew, how many times you've been in prison in your own mind, in your own thoughts, in your own situation, your circumstance and your experience, but it seemed like you can't come up out that prison. It seemed like you can't get past that cage. It seemed like you can't even get past the thought. How about that? The thought of it. It's these thoughts. Our mental and emotional state has to be in a certain place in order for us to receive what God has for us. And the one thing that he wants us all to have, that's freedom. Freedom for what? From it all. In spite of it all, God, I'm still going to press. In spite of what I see, God, I'm still going to believe. In spite of what I'm going through, God, I know all things going to work out for my good, because I know that you love me, and I love you for loving me. I love you for loving me. Now, this is the good part, y'all. This is the part right here that had me shouting. Moreover, whom... I gotta calm down, because I'm fit to get excited. Can I start from the top? Romans 8 and 28. Because I want y'all to really get this. It don't matter. I wouldn't give a rat's tail what you're going through or how you're going through it. Don't allow yourself to be deceived by what you see, what you hear, and what you're going through to hinder what you believe. And what do? We believe God. And everything else is a liar. Everybody else is a liar. I don't care. And I'm a liar. I'm a liar if I'm belittling myself. Because God says that I am great. He says that I am beautiful and wonderfully made. So I'm lying to myself if I'm standing in the mirror calling myself ugly. That's a lie. Because God say you're beautiful. That's all I'm saying. We allow our own selves to belittle our own selves and thinking and believing that we are not enough. We in our own hearts, we put our own selves in prison, y'all. We put our own selves in captivity, which causes us to be emotionally imbalanced towards any and everybody else. And say offense. Yes. We get offended about everything and want to defend everything. Offense and defense. We do. And it messes us up. And we know that all things work together for good. What did he say? I know the thoughts that I have towards you that are what? Good. Good. So I'm going to say this again. And we know that all things work together for good. For good. To them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow. He already knew you. He knew you before you was formed in the very bowels of your mama's belly. He knew. What is foreknow? It's to have previous knowledge of. It's to know beforehand, especially by means of revelation. He already knew what he had planned for you to do even before you knew what you wanted to do. Okay. You don't even know what you want to do. You know what you desire to do. But what you desire to do and you want to do is two different things. I want this and I want that. It's always going to be a lust. Always. Because the eyes and the ears ain't never satisfied. We ain't never content. We always want the more. But that desire can be accomplished. Why? Because the Bible says so. Just delight in me and I'm going to give you that desire. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. I already done told you in your mind, in your heart, in your body that I will supply your every need. So you ain't got to worry about your needs. And your wants ain't nothing but lust. I'm trying to get that out y'all. I don't want you to lust after everything and everybody that you see. All the stuff, the folk and the peoples. I don't want you to, but I want you to delight in me and that thing that you desire, not your want, because your want will send you to hell. Your desire will have you in a place of contentment. Did you hear what I say? Because the one thing that we all desire and can agree on, we just desire to be loved for real. That's it. That's it. That's it. Anything else can happen and we can go through anything else. The one thing we desire the most is love. Why? Because God created us in his own image and God is what? Love. We just wanted to be true. We wanted to be loyal and faithful and dedicated and consistent. Can we get some consistency somewhere? I mean, I'm just saying. Okay. Foreknow. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. What do we mean like that? And it's all, I'm going to get to that part. What is predestined? It's to decree, determine, appoint, or settle beforehand. God already knew what he wanted you to do and how you wanted to do it. But you wanted to do something else. And in the midst of you wanting to do something else, God went on ahead and let you do that thing. But he had to pull some stuff up out of you. In the midst of him pulling that thing up out of you, you thought it was something bad that you was going through. You thought you was in that dark place or in that deep ditch. You thought that you was in a place where you just could not get out of. But God had to get you in that place, because if you was not in that dark place, you'll still be looking at the wrong stuff. It'll be too much noise going on. So I gotta get you in that dark place. So just close your eyes, y'all. If you close your eyes, you can't see absolutely nothing. So if you're in that dark place and with all the lights out in the house, you can see absolutely. So I gotta get you in that place. Because if I get you in that place, then I know you're gonna be called Jesus. Lord, help me, God. Get me out of that place. That's the only time I can get you to call on me. And the other time, you walking around thinking, you got your hands in my business. You got your hands in my business. And then you said, ain't enough. Lord, I can't do this. You got your hand in my piggy bank. That's why you ain't pulling out number pennies. Romans 8. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed. What is conformed? To bring into harmony or accord. It's to be similar or identical. To act in accordance with prevailing standards or custom. To be conformed to what? Listen to this. To be conformed to the image of his son. And what is his image? The only thing that Jesus did completely and totally, God wanted to be conformed in Jesus' image. Guess what it is? Obedience. How can I be conformed to that? Because Jesus said, Lord, I don't want to go through this. We don't want to go through a lot of stuff. Lord, I don't want to go through this, and I don't want to experience this, and I've been down here too long. I would prefer, but nevertheless. Nevertheless. So what do we mean by nevertheless? I'm not going to continue to belittle myself because that's the less. And you said nevertheless, your will be done. And what is your will? Your will is that I understand that I'm wonderfully and beautifully made. I ain't ugly. I ain't fat. And I'm just pleasingly plump. That's all I'm saying. I'm for real. I'm just saying, because I remember when I was real skinny, they used to call me Olive Oil and BB for short for Barnaby Bones. Oh, that used to offend me to the core. I'm telling you, girl, they called me Barnaby. Did y'all remember the movie Barnaby Jones, the series? He was invested. So I used to always want to investigate stuff. That's why they called me Barnaby Bones. Because I was skinny and I'd be like, I found out the truth. Because, that just was me. So they called me Barnaby Bones. And so in the midst of that offended me. And I felt like I had to defend myself. And olive oil and all these other little video names. And so I said, I ain't skinny. I'm just not fat. It's you.
Okay,
so. I wasn't calling them fat. But because they emotion and the emotional and mental stability was not balanced, it offended them. Pay attention to what I said. I ain't skinny. I'm just not as fat as you. Are you calling me fat? You got, because they are, so you self-conscious about your weight just like me, so be quiet. You, it was just something that was being exposed by verbiage, because we looking at it in a different way. Our thoughts causes our mind to reciprocate that thing in a way that is not in the way that it was presented to us, and so it causes us to get emotionally distraught. That's what it is. Okay, I'm going to say it again. Our emotions and our mental state has to be in a certain place in order for us to receive what God has for us. Is y'all getting it? Y'all, I don't want to lose nobody. For real. We have to be in a certain place. And it could be for a season. Seasons change. It could be for a time. Time, this too shall pass. But always remember, it's for a purpose. Listen to this. For whom he did foreknow, he already knew what he had planned for you. He also did predestinate. He already declared it and decreed it. And if God said it, it's simply yes and it's amen. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That you may be able to be a living testimony. Okay, listen to this. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And what is to call? It's to make a request or demand the presence or service of. It's to cause to come. It's to summon to a particular activity, employment, or office. See, when God called you, he wants you to come, and he has something planned for you to fulfill. To give the order for, to bring it to action. To be called is an entitlement to something. A position arrived at after consideration. It's to request the doing of by virtue of one's authority. To tell of or describe beforehand. See, when you are called, they get it mixed up with their scriptures. They say many are called but few are chosen. Yet, when you called, he's summoning you. He's summoning you. He's summoning you as a free will to come. You weren't chosen because you rejected him. He didn't reject you because he called you. He called you. And so if he called you, he already knew you before you even came into existence. He predestined. He foreknew you. He predestined you to do a thing. So he called you. Come on. I want you to walk in your divine destiny. Come on. I need you to go over here and do this. Come on. I need you to go over here and do that. You know what? I'm going to make you this. And I'm going to do this. Now he done told you the end, but he ain't tell you what you got to go through. So in the midst of you going through these things and you see the end, it causes you to be blinded by seeing afar because of what you're going through. And so because you're blinded by what you're going through, it's hard to what? Believe it. Oh, that's too good to be true. Okay, God is good and everything he says is true. Hello? What? God is good and everything that he says is true. So if he tell you that you're going to be a millionaire, a trillionaire, I'm going to make you this and I'm going to make you that, and you're going to do this and you're going to do, you got to believe that thing. He never told you what you got to go through to get there. He never told you what he got to pour out of you for you to be anchored in it. Amen. Solidity. Okay, that scripture. He bringing it to me. We be tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine. What do he mean by that? Every conversation that you have, it shake you up too much. It blows you over. Amen. My kids say, it be blowing me back, Mom. It just blow me back. Blow you back. It knocks me down. My daughter be like, Mom, I'm dead. I say, you better stop saying that. It's power in that tongue. So what? How that any and everything that you're going through is necessary. It's necessary for you to go through because God wants you to be conformed to who? Jesus. The image of who? Jesus. And if you are in the image of Jesus, then guess what? You're going to forgive even in spite of the unforgiveness. Amen. The unforgivable. Baby, some things that have been said and done that is unforgivable. But you're going to be able to forgive if you conform to the image of Jesus. So he got to pull that thing up out of you. Not pride. Not walking in fear. Not acting. Apologize. That ain't to be apologized to me. No, I'm going to be the bigger person that ain't apologize. That's not about. That's pride. It's all forms of pride, y'all. It does not mean you just walking around thinking you better than everybody or y'all could do this and they can't do this or is mom the reason for this? No. You could be prideful. Let me tell you how the Lord showed me the other night. I was being prideful with him. Listen to this. So I was laying down in the bed and he just kept bringing this thing and kept showing me this face. And I was like, I don't even know why you keep on talking to me about that. The Lord say, that's what he said. No. So I say, you know what, Lord? I'm sitting up here trying to tell you why, and you told me to come to you. You told me to see your face. You told me to come, so I'm coming to you now. And I'm telling you because you know how we is. Not you, my friend, right? Right. I'm just telling you for real. Yeah. I say, so Lord, just tell me why. And you know, so I'm questioning him. Could it? I know he hit me. Because he everywhere. So why he ain't answering me? Now all the time, he's still showing me the face and telling me different other things about that. Totally disregarding what I'm saying. I'm saying, now you hear me, you just going to ignore what I'm saying and talk about the same stuff I'm telling you or no? Well, how many times your kids do that? How many times we do that? Now, I done already done said no, but you just going to keep on. You know what? Okay. And I'm still, I'm listening, but I'm disregarding. Don't want to hear that he know this. I know he know. Still talking about it. Girl, the Lord says, did you hear me? I say, yes, Lord, nevertheless, your will be done. He say, you just going to be prideful because you didn't even mean that. I say, yes, I did. He said, I said, a liar won't tarry in my sight. I said, okay, Lord, I didn't mean that. I just said it because I wanted you not to talk about it no more because I don't want to hear it. He said, okay. How many times you try to block your friends out, your people, your kids when they saying something? You can't block out Jesus. Ooh. Ooh. It's like, who's it? Who's it? I said, okay. So I got on up and I sat at the foot of the bed. And I listened. And then when I listened, this is what I said. I said, Lord, I understand, and I'm saying to you nevertheless, but I need you to help me because that's hard and I don't wanna, but I'm gonna submit myself and I need you to help me because and then that's when he said, okay, because I put that pride down. He showed me I was prideful. He showed me how I was trying to contend with him when he already foreknew me predestined. And then in the midst of it, him saying okay to me, he started showing me some things, and I just started crying. And this is what he said to me. He said, everything that you went through and you had to go through, it was necessary so I can get you to this place that you can forgive, that I can get you to this place that you won't have no grudge, that I can get you to this place that you can look at that person and not look at them cockeyed and roll your eyes, that I can get you to that place of praying for them and not fainting, that I can get you to. I say, oh, so you set me up. He said, yup, that Sunday sermon. It's a setup. It's a setup, baby. He already knew what you was going to go through. He knew you before you was formed in the very bowels of your mama's belly. He knew everything you had to experience. He knew every molestation. He knew every abuse. He knew every woman or man beat up. He knew every foul mouth that was said to you. He knew all the lies that was told on you. And people tried to drag your name down and defamed you. He knew how you was going to be used and even abused for the benefit of the very sake of somebody else. He knew already, even before it happened, even before it came into existence. But what he had to do was get you in that dark place that you may be able to see him, that you may consider your emotional and your mental stability. Yeah, it's a setup, baby. It's that good versus that evil. It's that thing that causes you to be weighed down and you're walking around feeling like you're dragging something behind you. Those balls and those chains and those shackles, and you're walking on stilts in the midst of carrying all this stuff. You got to put that pride down while you're carrying all this stuff, because you're going to mess around and wobble and boop, fall and can't get up. I'm just saying, he just showed me them stilts and the balls and chains. I just got to tell y'all what I see. That, because that's what we do. That's what we do as people. He says, I foreknew you. I predestined you. I called you. And whom he called, them he justified. What do you mean by that? To continue to declare to be true or proper despite opposition or objections. To be an acceptable reason for. So even in the midst of it all, it does not matter. Joseph still, us, let's talk about us. Let's talk about us right now. It does not matter what nobody say. It does not even matter what you think about your own self. If God knew you beforehand and he already predestined your destiny for you and he called you to do a certain other thing, it does not matter what your past is, what you did yesterday or the 3 seconds ago. He said, I already justified you. I already qualified you. I already gave you the tools for it. It does not matter what nobody said. It don't even matter what you say about you. Because I know what I put down inside of you. But it's laying dormant. Why? Because of you. It ain't because of what nobody else say. Somebody else can say something to me, baby. Let me sit up here and tell you, because I got over years ago. Somebody could say something else to me. Somebody could say something. They could do something. They could lie. They could cheat. It does not matter, because I know who I am in God. And pride ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm just an assurance in what and who I am in God. I got confidence that I got worth, baby. And I know I got worth because he sent his son Jesus to die that I may be able to have life. So right there showing me that I am worthy of it. You may not know and you may not see, but that's your loss and my gain. How is it my gain? Because I ain't got to worry about what you say anymore. Bye. That's all I'm saying. You justified by the blood, baby. You could be a stripper tomorrow, baby, and a preacher today, because God justified you. He showed you. He allowed you to go through that thing. It was necessary for you to be able to go through it, that you can relate to another one. You can relate to somebody else and say, baby, it's okay. God said you're worthy. It's okay. God said that you can. It's okay. God said that you may fall, but you ain't cast out. It's okay, baby. It may look bad right now, but it's going to work all out for you good. You ain't got to worry, baby. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. He never said it wasn't going to form. He said it wasn't going to overtake you. Come on now. We talking about God. Because if God be for you, who can be against you? Who can stand against you, babe? Ain't nobody got no power, no authority, no evil right. Not even a doggone devil. And he gonna bring the evil to your door, baby. He gonna put it right. He's gonna use people that you love the most. How many times you say sleeping with the enemy? No, I ain't sleeping with the enemy. The enemy is trying to sleep with me. I ain't sleeping with the enemy. The enemy trying to seduce me. I ain't sleeping with the enemy. You guys, don't y'all say that no more. Oh, I'm sleeping with the enemy. No, you're not. The enemy trying to sleep with you, baby. He trying to. And what is he going to use? The people that's closest to you. The things that he know can shake and move you. Because he ain't stupid. Y'all do know that. Y'all know the devil ain't stupid, right? He's not stupid at all. He know what can shake you. He know what words can be used to make you wobble all over the place, baby. And you will think for real you're walking on stilts. We're not without bottoms. Stilts without bottoms. How in the world you going to walk on that? Stilts without bottoms. What the world? Imagine that. You, baby, come on. He knew us. He knew us even before we got to the place where we are now. And it's necessary that we go through this stuff in order for us to be mentally and emotionally balanced, that we may be able to receive what? Our greatness. Because God said that we are all going to be great. He got a purpose for each and every last one of us. It's a season and a time and a purpose for any and everything on this earth. Did you hear what I say? Seasons change, y'all. And it's all in a timing of a certain thing or a certain situation that happened or even that come through. Everything is not going to happen right quick. You're not going to put it in the oven and then let it cook for 30 minutes and pull it out and say you got a well-baked cake. No, when you cut it, it's going to run out. It ain't going to even be mushy. It takes a couple hours to bake a cake, and then even then you better be careful so it won't be dry and choke somebody. You know what? I'm just saying it's a setup. Everything that we go through and everything that we experience is a setup. It's a setup that's going to work out for your good. Now, you may not be able to see because of what you're going through and what you're experiencing and what people are saying, or even what you're saying to your own self, because we Lord, touch us in our minds. For real. Touch us in our thoughts that we won't think a certain type of way, even about our own selves. That we may be careful not to think a certain type of way about others. Help us in our mind. Because everybody is not emotionally and mentally stable. And then let me say this again. All of us have a mental disorder. Did I say that right? All of us have a mental disorder. You know what? I got an attitude problem. Nope, you need anger management. Is that a mental disorder? Yes. Yeah, you always crying. You just cry. That's a mental disorder. That's depression, sadness. No, I mean, seriously. If we look at it psychologically, the Lord told me to go to the school and get my degree in psychology. If we look at these things psychologically, then we will understand that we all have a mental disorder in some form or some fashion, great or small. It does not matter what it is. And we all need Jesus. We all need Jesus to help us to be what? Free from what? Our own selves. Because an incident or situation or something can happen or occur inside of our lives, it stick with us and it get hard for us to pass. And he had me preach that on last Sunday. This is a whole new year. We getting past the old. Amen. If it happened in 2023, please leave it there.
Amen.
Because you cannot change it. You can't do it over. And it don't even exist anymore. Hello. It's over, finished, done, and next chapter. What is it that you want me to learn from this thing that I keep going through, Lord? Whether it be with a man, whether it be with a woman, be on my job, be with my friends, be with my children. Lord, what it is, that's what we got to consider. We got to consider. and reason with our own selves. Why am I in this state, Lord? And what you want me to do? And what you want me to know? Because I want to walk in my destiny. I don't want to keep tripping and falling in all the other foolish. That dark place ain't no good place. So I pray that God give us all insight, hindsight, and foresight. Because if we don't get no insight, we're not going to prove ourselves and try to figure out what God's trying to show us. If we don't get no hindsight, then we're going to keep on looking back and we ain't going to be able to. Please let that go. Ball and chain, girl. And if we don't get no foresight, we're going to be so blind about what we're going through right now that we can't see a fire. And he say he got a plan that is in store for us. Things that is in store for us. And let me explain something to you. God could speak a thing over your life and that thing could come to pass, or you could see that thing coming to pass. Let me explain something to you. Other people have choices just as you do. You have a choice to receive or accept the thing. You could not accept it or even receive it. You could not receive it or even accept it. Vice versa, it go anywhere. Everybody, don't you know, just because that individual or that person chose to say no when God says yes, and this is a scripture, he ain't going to withhold no good thing from you. He said, because if your ways please me, I will not withhold no good thing from you. So you got to make sure that your setup is set right. That everything, all the tools and all the stuff is positioned in its proper order, that your perspective will not allow you to delay it. We're talking about you as an individual. Me as an individual. Because can't nobody make you know, well, I was just acting like that because you was acting like, no. The Lord checked me about that too. I was like, you know what, I'm so sick and tired, and so, I'm going to act just like they act. The Lord say, they not making you act like nothing. You want to act like that, but you got a choice to or not to. And so I chose not to, even though I began to. Huh. Because in the midst of the foolishness, you could check yourself and stop it right there. You could choose to stop it. You can choose to stop it. The name of the sermon is set up good versus evil. Yeah, the choice. Choices are baffling. Maybe they baffle you. You know what? I choose not to keep on tolerating this and going through this and such, because it's always happening to me. Okay, why are you going through that? And why did you ever consider, Lord, reveal to me what you trying to teach me? Why I got to keep going through the same thing? And in the midst of it, you consider what he trying to tell you and show you. Because a lot of times, we don't want to see us. The Bible say a darkly mirror. We don't want to see us. We don't want to see the true us. We don't. And baby, we so ugly and weak. What the Bible said? The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Above what? All things. Who can know? You don't even know what's in your own heart. So this is what, when people come to you and be like, girl, if it was me, I wouldn't do this, or I'd do this. Or that. Tell them, it ain't you, because you don't even know what you'll do in this situation, baby. Because you're not mentally or emotionally balanced, and neither am I. So we are not held responsible for our actions, but we must take accountability for them. Because our emotions, I'm going to say that again. Me, you, him, her, they, we, all of us is emotionally and mentally imbalanced. We are not responsible for our actions, but we must take accountability for them. We got to. Now or later, it don't matter. You just got to. So what do he say? What do he say in closing? What do he say in closing? Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Oh, to be glorified is caused to be or seem to be better than the actual condition. So what you think you are way better than that because God says so. He got you going through this stuff and experiencing these things that he may get the glory out of it. And how can he get the glory out of it? By simply exposing the true you. And what is the true you? Can I tell y'all? In the beginning, God made male and female. And after he got through making the heavens and the earth and the seas and the waters and the Bible says that it was good. So to be glorified, once he justified you, that means he got you back in that good condition. You back? What did he do? What did he do to Joseph? He glorified him in the end. Even though he had to go, the Bible says from the age of 21 all the way until the age of 30, he was in prison. That's a long time to be locked up in prison to learn that he got to humble himself. It took over 15 years for him to walk in his divine destiny in humility. Why? Because when God glorified him, listen to this, he glorified him in a land where did not nobody know who he was. Did you hear me? He took him out of his comfort zone. He took him out of that place where he knows everybody. He took him out of that place. He took him out of that place where he was sitting pretty, handsome, and he had to make him uncomfortable in order to appreciate the glory.
Come on, y'all.
See, sometimes you got to get into a place of discomfort in order to appreciate your position, even though you're in a certain condition. Did y'all hear that? You have to. It's necessary for your own sake. Not his, because he already glorified. The Bible says that he glorified Joseph in the end. How? Because not only was he humble when he walked up to the king and told him all his dreams and then he gave him the wisdom of what to do. The Bible says that the king said, you know what? I ain't found nobody that is more wiser than you and have the spirit of God inside of them. I'm making you rule over any and everything in this whole land and everybody. He said, I'm even finna give you something to prove to you that you somebody. He said, you greater than any and everybody that come across your path. All except me. They gotta come through you to get to me. We talking about that kind of glory that can't nobody pull you down. The Bible says that not only did he give him his signet, a ring as a signet, that he put him on a white horse, put gold chains on his neck, and as he rode by, the Bible says everybody bowed down to him. Now mind you, this was way before his brothers came and had to bow down. Huh? See, he had to teach him how to be humble amongst strangers, that when the people who came up against him and was the reason why he had to go in that dark place to be raised up to forgive them. Okay. Sometimes he got to take you from that familiar place and put you in a place that's unfamiliar, a whole nother territory, a whole nother realm that you may be able to accomplish and gain the qualifications and the tools that he have already predestined for you as an individual, that when you do come into the presence again of the familiar, they can't do nothing but reverence the glory that God put on you. Because he's going to have you walking in authority, baby. Was Joseph not walking in authority? He's going to have you not just walking in authority. You're going to walk in authority in humility. You're going to walk in authority because you are and you have that assurance in God of who you are. You're going to walk in authority in that confidence and not in pride because you are confident that God got your back. Can't nobody, in this last scripture, going to put the icing on the cake. Listen to what it say. I'm going to start from 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, there's more, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So it don't matter what nobody say, how nobody act, what nobody do, or even what they profess. Because let me tell you something, baby. People ain't gonna let you live your past. They want you to live in your past. They don't want you to get past your past. But I want you to remember, that's why they still there. They in your past for a reason. Because that past is a familiar place. God wanted you to get past your past that you could enter into your new. Take nothing from your past into your future. Because it won't do nothing but cause you to delay or hinder. And if you keep on holding on to it, because the Bible says that your past will surely destroy you, baby, you can very well forfeit your future. Did you hear what I say? I'm going to say it one more time. Because I want y'all to really get it. Don't take nothing from your past into your future. If some people try to come and keep, well, I know you used to do this and you used to do that and you this and you ain't changed and you ain't such, 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 such and you this and you fooling them and you this and that. Da, da, da. Oh, okay. It's something that you see that's making you mad. You say, I know you don't change him. How you know? Because you in my past. You in my past, baby. You don't know absolutely nothing about me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I have become. And you don't know my story. You don't know my story. You don't know what God brought me through. What he delivered me from. And how he helped me that I could even forgive you for speaking foolish. You don't know. Don't nobody know. That's that assurance and that confidence that you got in God. And pride ain't got nothing to do with it. Because he glorified you. He glorified you by allowing his glory to rest on you. Because rest assured, when they see you, they do see something different. That's why they got something to say. They got something to say because they want you to go back to what you used to be. They want, and then, they want to provoke you to, I knew you didn't change. I knew you didn't. Look at you. You still the same. No, if I was, I'd be in jail for killing you. Yeah. I'm just saying. God knew you even before. Everything that you're going through is necessary. It's necessary for you to go through that struggle. Because if you don't go through that struggle, when he do bless you, you won't appreciate it. Come on. You learn to get appreciative, baby, when you done went through something for so long and then God give you that breakthrough. How about all that hurt and all that pain that you done went through and then you finally experienced some stuff? God done gave you a breakthrough. He said this to you. Let me tell you something. What you sow, that shall you reap. There's no way you're going to sow love and all this other thing and you don't get it back. It may not be in the season that you want it or in that time, but it's guaranteed purposed. Why? Because God is love. Why do you think he tells us to confess all the time to one another? Why do you think he say go to one another and forgive and help one another and be concerned about it? That's love, baby. Anything outside of that love ain't got nothing to do with it, and it's a lie. Don't deceive yourself and either nobody else. Why do you think he say don't be grudging? Don't do this and don't do that. That's all got something to do with love. Anything contrary to it is not God. It's not God. He gave us a certain amount of power that we do not even use, y'all. The Bible says that we have a form of godliness and deny the power. Why? Because our weapons of warfare are not carnal. I cannot fight you with words. I can't, unless it's the word of God. I ain't fighting you, baby. I'm simply tearing down that foolishness that you're trying to exalt higher than God. What do the Bible say? We are mighty through him to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every imagination that exalts itself against God. So I'm going to say this again. We have to be in a certain emotional and mental state in order to receive from God, because our imaginations are so inventive. We can imagine something. Baby, let's talk about it, man. We can imagine some things. We can conjure up some things, baby. We can write our own stories in our own mind. And it's a lie. Baby, we can concoct up some stuff. And it's a lie. For real. But in knowing all this that I just explained, know it's all a setup. It's all a setup that God, the Bible says that he wants all of us to come into the fullness of Christ Jesus. If we come into the fullness, baby, we made whole. And if we made whole, then we ain't lacking nothing. We ain't lacking absolutely nothing. Just let me show. We want anything, right? We too. Okay. One more. I got it. I think it's Ephesians. It's James. Let's do James chapter 1. Because it's the proof of it. I got to give y'all the proof. I don't want to just say stuff because I don't make up stuff. James chapter 1. We're going to start. Let's start from the top. And I'm just going to read the first four verses. James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Talking about all of us. My brother, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. Divers mean many. Okay. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. We ain't paid. We too microwave. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. What is entire? Having no element or part left out. Entire is having the margin continuously or free from indentations. Entire is not divided or scattered among several areas of interest or concerns. It's not lacking any part or member that properly belongs to it. It's to a full extent or degree. Be an entire, baby. When we be an entire, that means that we are not lacking nothing. That means that it ain't nothing that can happen to us that is going to cause us to waver or be tossed to and fro. That means we standing on a solid foundation, baby. We anchor. It does not matter what that person say, what they do, how they act, or even how they treat us. It means we ain't going to be easily moved. Did you hear what I say? It does not matter if somebody say a certain thing to you. When you know what you know, baby, and you know it because God done told you, and they try to tell you something different, just let your word be. Okay. Because the Bible say you can't reason with a fool. He say you become a fool when you do. Now that's the book, Proverbs. I ain't making it up. The Bible says some. And if we trust in our own heart, the Bible also says, if a man trusts in their own heart, they become a fool. So you can't trust what your own heart is telling you, because it's desperately deceitful. It's wicked. You don't even know what's down in the inside of it. and you show Jesus, Lord, have mercy, can't trust in what you think. Because your thoughts is nothing like God. If you trusted in what you think, baby, you're going to stay in a place of anxiety, depression, sadness, anger, bitterness, antagonism, defense, offense. You could just discombobulate. That just sums it all up. We're talking about the setup. The setup to approve yourself. Look inside of your own self. Any and everything that you're going through, be not weary in your well doing. Because you shall weep if you faint not. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. If God be for you, who can stand against you? God say victory is mine. We always trying to put our hands to stuff. The Lord said it's better than yours, it's mine. Let me handle it now. Let me shake the mulberry bush. I stand for you. You ain't got to try to put no fear in nobody. God say, I got you. We worried about loneliness and all. Well, all of a sudden, he's talking with you always. You ain't never got that. Everybody that God disconnect from you, baby, it is for a reason because they was only there for a season. He was trying to teach you something. Don't be grieved because you want that thing. You better desire what God got for you because he said your ways please him and delight in him. He says he will not withhold no good thing from you. And guess what? That thing that you don't want to let go, that thing ain't good for you because it keep on trying to get good. But we... Okay, Lord, you say have compassion. Lord, you say that, okay, you can help somebody without using yourself as a crutch. You could. We got to consider why we keep going through this thing. Why? Because God is trying to teach us. We may not understand what he is trying to teach us or even show us, but help us today, God. Yellow sheets of paper and red pens. She's going to give you guys yellow sheets of paper and red pens. I want y'all to write down all these fears, all these struggles, all these things that's causing you to get into that place of conflict inside of your mind, your thoughts, your body, your heart. It could be your family. It could be a foe. It could be something in your past that you still want to hold on to and not let go. It could be something that's been a strain on your brain, baby, and you can't even sleep at night. The tossing and the turning. I speak sweet sleep. It could be a struggle. An addiction. I don't give a rat's tail what it is. Let's write down all this stuff. Let's give God all this stuff that he may be able to teach us how to receive every blessing. Because in the teaching, baby, we want to receive. We don't want to just accept, but we want to receive it. I accept what you say, Lord, but now can I receive it? And it may take a little bit of time because he got to teach us something. He got to show us something. He want to give us something. And we have to be content in our current state. We have to be content. Stop complaining and murmuring. Everything is totally and completely necessary that we are going through. Any and everything. Feel good, but it's a sure thing.
Can I be honest?
And we just gonna be honest.
Sometimes I don't understand.
We may not understand why we gotta go through it or why we've been through it or why we keep going through it.
When the world is in your hands.
Lord, you can change some things. Why won't you? Why haven't you?
You can stop it all if you wanted to.
Oh yeah, we got them questions. Why you got me going through this? Come on, y'all. It's a purpose. It's a purpose. It's a purpose.
I know it will.
It's all gonna work out for my good. I may not see the value of it, but I know it's gonna be worth it by the time I get to the end of it. It may be costly on my sanity. It may be costly on all the tears I done shed it. But I know the value of my tears is going to turn to joy. And you know what's best for me. We need to get out of his way. We always putting our hands in his business. And what's his business? You and you and you and you and you. We his business, y'all. He know what's best. Forget about all that stuff. He already worked it out. Already. I just dare you to trust him. Trust God with you. I told the Lord before. I said, Lord, I don't want to go back that way no more. I said, because I can't trust him with me. The Lord said, I ain't asking you to trust him with me. I'm asking you to trust me with you. What you mean by that? I need to be able to trust you with him while you talking about you can't trust him with you. Let me be God. Don't you be you. And let God be God. Just trust him just a little bit. Write down all these things. Write down these things that cause or make you think that you can't get up. And remember, it's like everything got a season. And seasons change. Seasons change, y'all. Accept your season that you're in right now. Knowing that it's going to change. And be in expectation for the change. Now, you may not know when or how, but be in expectation for it. That's that confidence. That's that assurance. And that's that trust. We be wanting to know too much. It's a purpose. It's a purpose. It's a purpose. For all of us. For all of us. When y'all get through writing that stuff down, come and put it on the altar. And I want you guys to stand on the altar and start praying for yourself. Go to God for your own self. And then I'm going to start praying with you. Y'all ain't got to rush to write this stuff down. Just trust him. And understand that these things are necessary. As y'all release these things down and y'all put this stuff on the altar, I want y'all to leave it on the altar. Don't take it back with you. Please don't take it back with you. And understand that it's necessary that these things have to happen, that you have to go through. It's necessary, you guys. Write down your fears. Write down all the stuff that you holding on to. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Start praying for yourself. It's necessary that we go through these things. These things has to happen. We may not understand it or even may not even want to go through it. May not even want to experience this stuff, but it's all necessary. We as people. Every child in the sanctuary, please get on your knees. And I don't want to hear y'all laughing and talking and praying. Because we pray. It's necessary that you go through these things. Take your time and write all this stuff down. And put it on the altar. While we're waiting for the others. Start praying for yourself. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, we just want to thank you, Lord. We want to thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Then y'all ain't got to rush. Even though I'm praying, you ain't got to rush. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, I'm coming to you on behalf of each and every individual that's in this sanctuary, God. I'm asking you to cover us in your blood and hide us behind your cross. You know any and everything that we need, what we don't need, God. You know any and everything, Father God, that overtakes us and even puts us in a place, God, that we do not even want to be in, God. We're talking about that unfamiliar place, God. That place where we are not comfortable. Lord, I'm asking you to touch each and every situation, Father God. I'm asking you to touch each and everything, God, that is causing us, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to be in that place. I'm asking you to help us, Lord. I'm asking you to help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that your will be done, God. I'm asking you to comfort us, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and give us the completeness that we need. Lord, because there's so many things, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that's caused us to be disdained. There's so many things, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that has caused us to get into that place, Lord, that is so discomfortable for us, Lord. We're asking you right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to not discomfort your people, Father. We're asking you right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to touch that situation, that concern, and that problem, Father God, that got us all disdained. Lord, we're asking you right now, Father God, we're casting all our cares on you right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, because you said in your word, Lord, that you will perfect that thing that concerns us. So we're asking you to perfect it, Lord, and in the midst of it, Father God, we're asking you, Lord, that we will not have anxiety, Father God, to be rushing you to do some things, because you said in your word, Lord, that there's a season and a reason for everything. There's a time and a purpose for it all, God. And even though we may not be able to understand that purpose, God, give us a heart to accept that purpose. Lord, we're giving you all these things. We're releasing all this stuff on today, God. All the anger, all the fear, all the embarrassment, all the shame, God. Any and everything that has caused us, Father God, to feel as if we are not worthy. Any and everything that put us in a place of doubt. Any and everything that's causing us to be tossed to and fro. We're putting all these things down at your feet right now, God, because we know that you can handle it, Lord. We're going to accept that necessary teaching. We're going to accept that necessary correction. We're going to accept that necessary instruction. Whatever it is, Father God, we're outpouring it right now, God. Every fear, every tear, every shame, every embarrassment, any and everything that's causing us, Father God, to be all hurt inside of our hearts and our mind. Any and everything that's causing us to get into that place of being undecisive. We're giving it all to you right now, Father God, because these things, Father God, in the name of Jesus, cannot be figured out. Lord, we do not have a resolution for them. We do not have a solution for them. But we know that you do, God, and we know, Father God, even though it may seem like it's impossible, that all things are possible with you. Lord, we know that any and everything and everybody, Father God, that even try to come up against us, Lord, that we will overcome it because they will not prosper. We know all these things, Father God. So I'm asking you right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you will touch each and every individual on the altar, God. Touch them name by name. You know who they are. You number the hairs on their head. You know any and every situation, every problem, every concern that they have. Lord, I'm asking you to personally, Father God, take care of that thing. Bring that thing into fruition and manifestation, Father God, that they will see that it's an actuality, and that even though you are an invisible God, that you can make things happen tangibly. Let your people know, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that the enemy has no authority over their life. Let them know, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that even the very devil Satan has to come to you and get permission even before that he even could think of doing anything for your children. Lord, I'm asking you right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you will help your people to aim high in their lives on today, Father God. Teach them to be holy and righteous, Lord. Keep their hands clean, let them walk upright, holy and circumspect, Lord. Help your people on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to even approve their own self, Lord, that they may be able to even understand and recognize that this is set up. Lord, help your people on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and even give them a heart of absolutions and forgiveness, Lord, that they will not walk around grudging, God, that they will not take nothing from their past or to their future. Let them let go of these things, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that they will not hold these things on unto their heart, Father God. Let them not treasure these things, Lord, in the name of Jesus, but let them release all these things unto you, God, knowing that these things are necessary for
Father God. Let your people run to you, Father God. And that they will start afresh, God. Let them run to you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. That they can get into that place, Father God, of peace. Oh God, give them peace and even sweet sleep. Because there's some things, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that they don't put their hands on, God. It's some things, Father God, that they cannot figure out. Lord, help your people to move out the way, God. That you may be able to do what you do best. And that's simply sin about us. Let your people know that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. You are the one that wrote our story. You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You are the one, Father God. Let not your people be blinded by what they're going through, Father God, that they cannot see afar. Give your people that hindsight. Give them that insight. Give them that foresight. Let your people know, Father God, that you have already predestined their lives, Lord. Give them that encouragement that they need, that they will come up out of that dark place. And even if you got them sitting in a dark place for a while, let them know, Father God, that you are even there. Jesus. Give your people a fresh breath. A fresh breath on today, God. That your will be done within their lives. Give them the wisdom that they need, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Not just to get wealth, but give them the wisdom, Lord, that they may be able to know how to approach that matter, Father God. Give them the knowledge, Father God, that even if they're approaching, they will know what to say. And give them the understanding, Lord, that as you give them the wisdom and the knowledge, that they will not lean to their own understanding. Oh God, I'm asking you right now to purge out that old leaven on today, Father God, that the new may be able to enter in. Let them not practice their old ways, their old thoughts, and their old actions on today, Father God, but let them enter into your rest, because you said after we have suffered for a while, you would establish us, God. You would let us enter into your rest. Let us enter into your rest on today, God. I'm asking you to do it right now, Lord. But each and every individual, Lord, consider the prayers that we put on the altar, God. You know each and every last one of them individually, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you to go in and see about your people, God. See about your people right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that they will not be contained within their own selves, Lord. Free your people. Heal, deliver, and set them free. Give them the hope. Restore your people back into their proper positions, Lord. Even now, God, in your son Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. You guys may be seated if you want to. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And your willingness, I get it, Lord. Oh, glory. Yes. Your wisdom. Oh, Lord. Yes. Jesus. It's all turning around. It's all turning around. It's all turning around for you. It's all turning around right now. Can't nobody turn it around but God. It don't matter what nobody's saying. It don't matter how they try to accuse you or try to misrepresent you. The Lord said they misrepresent you. God said no more. No more. This is a new beginning for you. This is a whole new direction. He put you in a whole new territory, baby. Something that you ain't never experienced before. See, we didn't know Koshana. God said he pulling some things out. He pulling some things out. He pulling some things out. That's because you choose to willingly submit yourself. Jesus. Oh God, I thank you for this show going on today. Continue to strengthen her, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and give her the completeness and the courage that she needs, that she will lift up a standard for you. It does not matter. I just see people talking. I just see mouths just talking. They've been biting on you so long until you start believing what they're saying. You will not believe them no more. You will not deceive and think and believe that you are beneath anybody, because God said that he justified you. Can't nobody else justify you, and you ain't even got to defend yourself no more. God says that he will defend you. You get sick and tired of people talking all the time. It seems like the harder you try, the more they talk, the worse they talk. You ain't got to prove nothing to nobody. There's only one person that you got to prove something to, and that is God. That's God. Because can't nobody put you in no heaven or no hell. And they better be careful before they fall victim to the very thing that they want to say you won't stop doing. Jesus. It does not matter what you used to do or what they think you were or what they think they used to be or how they used to be. God said you knew. And if God said it, can't nobody else override it. Because he is the creator. He is the creator. And everything that you experienced and everything that you went through, it was necessary for you to appreciate the goodness of God now. Right now. Jesus. Oh God, I thank you, God, for sparing her life. Three times he spared you, baby. Three, you should have been dead that last time. Yeah. You should have been gone, baby. Three times. You should have been gone. God spared you. It was necessary for you to experience that. For you to acknowledge him now. Yeah. You had to go through that. For you to appreciate your very own life. Because there was a time you did not even care. Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, God. Thank you for sparing our life. Thank you for giving our chance to be a living testimony. Thank you, Jesus, for a second and a third and 100 chances over and over again. It's never too late to say yes, Lord. This, I told you, our seasons change. Claim your season to turn around. Everybody stand to your feet. Claim your season. A turnaround. It's turning around for me. Just say it to yourself. Close your eyes. Say, it's turning around for me. My situation turning around. That thing turning around. My financial burden turning around. My mishaps turning around. It's turning around for me. It can't stay like this. It will not stay. sun. I can see the new day. I can see it. It's turning around right now. It's turning around now in this season. I claim it. I receive it. I accept it. Now turn around. Jesus. Turn it around for your people. Turn it around, God. Turn that theocracy. Change that thing. Move that thing. Settle that thing. Shake that thing off. Turn it around, God. Turn it around. Turn it around. Right now. A new day. A new season. A new direction. It's a turnaround. 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 Yeah. I ain't gonna be in that same sad state. God turning it around. I'm not gonna be in that depressed state. God's turning it around. I'm not gonna be in that broke state. God's turning it around. I'm not gonna be there. I'ma be where God say I'ma be. And if I gotta be here, I know it's necessary. But I'm in expectation for the turnaround. Yay God! Yay God! Yay God! Turn it around, turn it around. 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 Turn it, Lord. Turn it, Lord. Turn it, Lord. Oh God, turn it around. Turn it around, God. Turn it around. I believe my turnaround is here right now in this season, this day, this time. Right now. I accept my turnaround. I accept my turnaround. I accept my turnaround. I accept my turnaround. Hold my mind in local seat. Turn it around. I accept it. I accept it. I accept it. Work it out for me, God. Work it out, God. You know what each and every last one of your people need. All that stuff they can't see. All that stuff they don't believe. Work it out for them. Work it out. Work out the impossible that they can know that you are a God of possibility. Let them know, God. Bring that thing into tangibility, God. Let it come into an actuality, Lord. Work it out. Work it out. Work it out. Work it out. Work it out, God. Work it out. You're the only one that can stop that silver tongue. You're the only one that can stop that lying spirit. You're the only one that can sever every addiction. You're the only one that can heal every ache and pain in our heart and even in our bodies. Only you can work it out. Work it out, God. Do it, Lord. Do it right now. Work out the situation in the home. Work out the situation in the finances. Work out that situation in our mind, God, and even in our thoughts. Work out that situation on our jobs, Lord. Work it out. Only you can do it. Only you can do it. Work it out, God. Work out that situation that's going on in the very womb of our bellies. Work it out, God. Birth out the new, God, that we will not continue to harbor the old. Birth it out. It's a birthing that's going to take place in this place. Jesus. Work it out, God. Work it out, Lord, that they will not stay in that place of comfort. Work it out that they will not stay in that place, Father God, of degradation, of segregation. Work it out that they will not stay in that place, Father God, of even anxiety, fear, pain, lost hope. Work it out. Work it out, Jesus. Work it out, Jesus. Work it out, Jesus. it right now. Do it right now. Because only you can. Only you can. Only you can. Only you can, God. We know that you can. We know that you're able. We know that you're able. Oh God, as I anoint your people, God. He can't let it go see ya. He can't let it go see ya. Cover them in their minds, God. That they will have emotional and mental stability, God. Give them the wisdom that they need, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that they may be able to approach a matter, God, cunningly. Oh God, do it, God. Do it, God. Oh God, comfort your people, Lord. Comfort them in their hearts and even in their mind, God, while you're working out. While you're working it out in the families, in the homes, God, in the bodies, in the marriages, in the relationships, the finances, the jobs. Oh God, work it out, work it out, work out that situation, God, with that mother and that daughter, that sister and that brother. Work it out, God. Remove any fear, any pain, any hesitation, any doubt. Oh God, work it out.
Work it out with me.
Work it out, Jesus.
Work it out
in our hearts. Work it out, Lord. That our thoughts will be stabilized. That our bodies will be healed. Work it out, Jesus. Work it out, Jesus. Work it out, Lord. Do it, Jesus.
Do it for me.
Do it, Jesus.
Oh, Lord.
Only you can. We know you can.
Oh, Lord,
if you don't do it, it can't be done.
It just won't be done.
So do it for us, God.
So, Lord,
do it in our minds, in our bodies, in our hearts, in our lives.
Sometimes I get
this. Do it, Jesus.
Like this, like,
Lord, do it, Jesus.
Fix it for me.
Fix it, God. Fix it, God.
I know that only God can do. Oh, fix it for me.
Do it, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Because, Lord, I have a problem.
I want everybody anointed.
Oh,
I didn't hear you. Okay. Can I do everybody?
Oh, Lord.
Do it, Jesus.
Do it for me.
Do it, Jesus. Do it, Lord.
Do it for me.
Do it, Lord, because only you can do it. Settle that thing. You may be seated if you want.
Do it right now,
God.
Do it for me.
Do it, Jesus. Jesus. He the only one that can do it, baby. It's some things that we done tried to work out on our own. It ain't working. Do it, Lord. Do it right now, God. I want to anoint everybody's feet up in here. Please take off your shoes. Take off them socks. Jesus. I want y'all to come up here and sit. And I'll anoint your feet. The Lord want me to anoint your feet. He gonna do it.
Thank you. it just won't be done. So Lord, do it for me.
Do it,
baby. Sometimes I get desperate and I say like this, I say, Lord, fix it for me. Anybody know that only God can do it? Oh, fix it for me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Because, Lord, I have a problem that only you can solve. So, Lord, do it for me. Can y'all play that for me?
got to play this song.
Dependable, dependable girl. Sometimes there are obstacles in the road that can leave you feeling low, and you don't know how to move forward. And sometimes there are turns you wanna take, but the way gets hard to trace. Now you're wondering, how did you get here? But don't you give up until you see how God is ordering your steps so you can walk into your seats. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform. Our God is faithful.
Today to help encourage you guys to know and remember what God says. It's just a setup. So don't take it personal, make it personal. Please, we're going to get ready to get our tithes and our offering.